Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by Chopper Pete Quinnell. How's it going, bud?
Yeah, it's been a day.
It's been a day, mate.
It has indeed been a day. I'm doing okay, though. It was emotional this morning watching this show that we're about to talk about. But yeah, doing all right.
Yeah.
How about you, mate?
Yeah, I mean, I think if anyone's seen the news today, I've had a day. Nearly got through the whole thing. I was close. I was really close. But I'll tell you what, let's dive into the show itself. And then we'll be back for the outro portion of this podcast, because it is New Year's Eve. So maybe we'll talk about New Year's Eve stuff. But anyway, here is the show. It was a lovely tribute night to Brody Lee. And here it is. It's Thursday. You know what that means. It's time for us to review the AEW show from last night, which was a tribute show to the late Brody Lee, who sadly passed away over the weekend at the age of 41. It was a, it was a heck of a tribute show. Like it was, we said it in the title here. This was a perfect, for me anyway, I thought this was a perfect tribute show. And I think going by what I saw on Twitter and the messages that I've had from people since the news went up. Thank you to everyone who's passed on those messages. It was a tough show for us all to watch, but I think that AEW did a really good one here.
They did. It was really hard to watch. I don't think my eyes were dry the entire time, but it was some much needed closure for a lot of fans, I think. And it was an incredible, respectful way to pay tribute to Brody. And the amount of really nice touches and gestures and well wishes and memories that people had, you know, obviously we've seen it on social media, but to have it on the TV show that he was on, it really, I think it just goes to show the mark that he's left and will leave going forward in the wrestling industry as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, so to kind of pull back the curtain slightly, the way that this show is produced is that producer Rich puts the images up on screen. Like, he's the one who's doing the transitions and stuff. We don't actually see the pictures as they go up, but I've got the sort of live feed as it's going out on my second monitors to make sure that everything is fine. Man, like, Rich just put up the image of the boots in the ring, the bandana, and like, I just, that was it, man. And it nearly set me off again. We've said it to each other time and time again, but it has been a day.
Yeah, it's been a very dehydrating day. But it was so sad and so good.
That And that's a hard thing to kind of like balance, right? Because like, yeah, it was a sad show, and it was sad. Like as soon as Colt Cabana came out, like the 10 bell salute was really sad. But as soon as Colt Cabana's, I think you could see that he's just spent the whole day just like tears in his eyes. And I, from there on, I was an emotional wreck. And then I just spent so much of the show just wiping away tears. But at the same time, like it had me smiling as well, because it had me smiling of, you know, the Moxley telling his stories and Jericho. We'll get to Jericho's story. Jericho's bizarre little story that he had to tell, which I loved, by the way. I thought it was wonderful. But like the MJF stuff with Brody Jr., like it really didn't, and I laughed, and like I actually blurted out, like I snorted happy tears when Jake did the short arm clothesline. Mm-hmm. Like I honestly couldn't. It was such a roller coaster of emotions, but it was so beautifully and just perfectly done.
Yeah, it was absolutely spot on. I mean, before we get into proper deep dive and everything, we should probably point out as well that if you want to get in your Ultra Chats today, any money that we make off it is going to be sent to Brody Lee's family or a cause that they would like to support. So that's what's happening with the money today. And also, because we don't really have one talking point for the show, because the talking point is the show as a whole, we're just going to talk about the show for half an hour or so maybe, and just talk about everything, and then we'll get to all of your Ultra Chats after that, through to the end of the stream.
Yeah, I think everyone's Ultra Chats are very much just going to be sort of, you know, their tributes to Brody. So we're going to read out every Ultra Chat that we get in, but all the money that we do make today, which, you know, because it's through Ultra Chats, YouTube aren't taking a cut off. So 100% of the money will be going through to Brody Lee's family or a charity of their choosing. So we'll kind of run through the show, and we'll get to that in a minute. We've actually, tomorrow's New Year's Day, so it's a bank holiday for us here in the UK, so we're not working, but that doesn't mean the content won't be going up. We have got a special tribute, our own tribute to Brody, as much as this is sort of like a bit of a tribute, because we're going to be talking about the Dynamite review, but we've got our own tribute video that's going out tomorrow at 1 p.m. UK time. It's 40 minutes, I think, is the final edit. And it's basically just us like recording our thoughts. And we reached out to members of the extended WrestleTalk family to give their thoughts and memories of John Huber and Mr. Brody Lee, Luke Harper, whatever you want to call him. It was not an easy edit to put together. I
can imagine.
That made me cry as well, because there was lots of lovely stuff in there. And so really, like, and if, also, you got to stick around to the end as well, because there's a bit of a nice thing. Someone sent us something that they got months ago, but forgot to send us. So that makes it into. Anyway, so with all that said, let's talk about this show. It opened with the 10 bell salute for Brody, with all of the roster on stage. You know, Kenny Omega was there, like all the champs were there, and they were all. But front and center of all of this was Amanda Huber, John's wife, and his two kids. And Brody Jr., who was an absolute star on this show, he's been already signed to a contract through AEW.
Yeah.
Which is, it's quite lovely, really. You know, yeah. I mean, they started a feud on this show that is going to culminate in a time, right? Yes. Which is lovely, really.
Scouting the young talent. You know, that's what they got to do.
I mean, people always said, hey, AEW, like, their division's so great because they put so much focus on young talent. Like, they've got a 10-year-old, like, an 8-year-old even, that they're already, like, you know, pinning some hopes on in 10 years' time or whatever. But he was there, and he was wearing a Dark Order mask, and he was wearing a suit and everything, and carrying this kendo stick. And, like, his younger brother seemed like he was, like, I'm not sure if he'd sort of fully knew everything that was kind of going on, because I don't think at that age you might be able to sort of process all of this sort of stuff. But man, it was lovely seeing them there.
Yeah, it was. And yeah, you could already sense the emotion from just like the looks on people's faces, even those that weren't, you know, actively crying already. You could tell the emotion and the tension that everyone had at that 10 bell salute. Crowd, you know, initially chanting for Brody and all that stuff. So really, it was a perfect start. And I was like, okay, that's the emotional bit out of the way. That's fine. We'll get on with the rest of the show. And then it just, the emotions built throughout the entirety of the rest of the episode and just got even more and more touching throughout the rest of the show.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah, I mean, it was similar. I said this in a review, but it was similar to the Owen Hart show, the Eddie Guerrero show, which is, you know, it's basically just the good guys get the wins. You know, we have some matches that they've taken the ranking system off the graphics for everyone. The graphics were all changed to purple in memory of Lee's Exalted One gimmick, which I thought was a lovely little touch, actually. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't about the ranking system, although JR sort of mentioned it every now and again. I could have done with some less salty JR on mm-hmm. this show. Like during the first tag match, we was like, well, who's the legal man? It's like, do you know what? It doesn't matter,
Britt. Doesn't matter.
Like, at this point, Jim, it does not matter. But yeah, like it wasn't about the rankings. It wasn't about sort of wins and losses. What this was about was just paying respects. And, you know, and you do that with the good guys getting the wins and pinning their heels in their matches. At one point, actually, I did think the heels were going to win at one point. Like during the...
Yeah.
The roster is very talented. They're very, very good wrestlers. And there was at one point during the opening match between Matt Hardy and Private Party versus the Young Bucks and Colt Cabana, there was a spot when they hit Gin and Juice on, I think it was, might have been Matt Jackson or might have been Nick Jackson. They hit that and they hit the Twist of Fate and then a series of dives. And I was like, and they'd taken out Colt Cabana and Matt Jackson. I was like, bloody hell, are they going to pin? Are they going to have the good guys lose on a tribute show? Totally bought into all of it.
Yeah. I mean, even on, you know, a show where the wrestling doesn't matter, it was still, you know, amazing stuff. It was so, so good. And having that perfect heel shenanigans, like we just mentioned with the Private Party and Matt Hardy, and then having Colt and the Young Bucks then come back to get that eventual win makes that win even sweeter and more emotional, which was great. And they managed to hit the whatever it's called, not the Meltzer driver, the other one,
the Indy Taker,
that's it. And then you know, Cabana did his Superman dive to get the pin, which was lovely, really, really nice. And you could see the emotion all through the match on the entrance, even on the very first entrance when Colt came out with the rest of the Dark Order. Oh. All of them stood in a line and did the Dark Order pose, and I was like, okay, that's it, that's the emotional peak of the show. It wasn't, but yeah. And then the match itself was great, and Colt at the end just kind of breaking down and hugging everyone was great.
Yeah.
a lovely match to start things off.
It was a really good match. And I thought, you know, the commentators were really putting over this idea, you know, the Colt Cabana's history with Brody Lee is, you know, it's long outside of All Elite Wrestling. It was, you know, going back many, many years. And they had a lot of that throughout the show, you know, been mentioned, like when there was Butcher, Blade was in the ring, and they were like, a man, like Blade was one of, you know, Brody Lee's like first big feuds in NWA upstate. You know, it's like little things like that, which is, I think, a lot of us wrestling fans who, you know, unlike someone like a Dave Meltzer who hasn't seen every single wrestling match in the sort of history of time, I wouldn't have known that sort of thing. Like, and I didn't know mm-hmm. that. Like, and so I sort of, you know, buried Jim Ross a little bit, but I actually thought that Excalibur and Shivani and Jericho did a really good job of getting a lot of this stuff over mm-hmm. and getting over, like, you know, the impact that Brody has had throughout the wrestling world. And yeah, I thought this was a really, really fun match, and it clearly meant a lot to Cabana.
Yeah, totally. And another point on the commentary as well, something that I really enjoyed them doing was saying, you know, when Brody first came in, a lot of people thought that Matt Hardy was going to be the Exalted One, and kind of talking about the history of Brody coming into the company and saying, oh yeah, he was supposed to debut in Rochester in New York, which is where he's from, but week before we went into lockdown, so that couldn't happen. It just provided, like, it felt like the veil was taken off a little bit. Mm-hmm. Around the mystique of wrestling, there's not that much of it left anyway, but yeah. Even in the company's kayfabe, it felt like a little bit of them just being like, hey guys, we all know that none of this matters today, this is all about Brody, let's just talk about him in very plain terms. And it was really nice. It felt different, and that marked difference just makes it more impactful when they do eventually start talking about Brody and all the stuff that he's done.
Yeah, because we got Moxley before this match paying his respects. And I think this was, you could see the emotional Moxley. I mean, obviously, he's been on the road with Brody a lot because they were in WWE together. You know, their matches, like the Wyatt Shield match. You know, I talked about, we've got this tribute video going out tomorrow. Everyone, like literally every single person mentioned that Shield Wyatt's match and like that Shield Wyatt's feud. So like Moxley, this was clearly quite tough for him to talk about, but what it really hit him was when he was talking about Brody as a family man and being this, you know, being an amazing dad. You know, he is someone who announced just last month that his wife's pregnant to give birth next year. So like that, and there was a lot like Bryce Remsburg talking about it later on, saying like if there was a Mount Rushmore of wrestling dads, sorry, there we go, there it is, then you know he would be part of it.
I
need you to talk for a second, Pete, while I just
I figured you might. It was a genuinely touching promo. That was only the first of many that we got throughout the night from people like Arn Anderson and Dax Harwood and like you said, Bryce Remsburg, Colt Cabana, Jericho. You know, there were loads and loads of really, really nice memories of that people shared throughout the show. It we've seen it enough on social media since his passing, but the amount of people that just said he's such a good family man, and the fact that this whole show was partially built around his son is just what a lovely sentiment. And to have his favorite wrestlers come and finish in their big six-man tag match was an amazing sentiment. And I thought, well, I can't get better than that. And then the final thing on the show happened, which we'll talk about in a bit.
I said in the review as well, like this wasn't a night of angles or gimmicks or characters and stuff like that. But like, you know, AEW still did some angles and stuff. You know, the Acclaimed came out to cut a promo, but SCU stopped them. And it just sort of felt like it was there to hype up the eight man tag this next week, because it's the Acclaimed and the Young Bucks and SCU versus the Acclaimed and Hybrid 2 in an eight man. I think that's on next week's show. But it was also there so Colt, you know, could do the boom boom elbows on both of them. So there were still like these sort of lovely moments for the good guys to stand all over the dastardly heels.
Yes, exactly.
I really like Darby Allin's. I kept writing promo in my notes because I'm just so used to writing like Darby Allin has a promo. But these weren't promos really; they were just, you know, paying their respects. And like, and this must kind of really suck for someone like Darby Allin, because he was like, when Brody came in, he was the guy that was like, he's the number one guy that I want to wrestle, and they're in the same division. Like they're both in that sort of TNT title picture. It almost felt like it was only a matter of time. And it's something that he's not going to be able to do anymore.
Nah.
But it's, and that's really sad, because man, do you know what? I'd have loved to have seen that match. Like Darby versus Brody. That'd have been amazing.
As soon as he said, he's the one guy that I wanted to wrestle. And I was like, I would have wanted to see that. That would have been amazing. And now we won't get the chance to, unfortunately. But and again, in Darby's memory that he shared, and just it kind of was the theme that ran throughout the whole show, of just how Brody came in and always wanted to elevate other people. It was never about him taking a spotlight. It was always about, I want to make everyone look good. And that is obviously seen with, you know, our own perception of the Dark Order increasing when Brody got there, because he made all of them look like stars, whether overtly or subtly. It was always about making everyone look good.
There was a Reddit post that got shared on Twitter earlier, but it was about an hour before we came on air, that said, like, it was a Reddit post that said Brody's mission of becoming the Exalted One was to make every member of the Dark Order better, and this was a show where every member of the Dark Order won. So mission accomplished, Brody. And I was like, I didn't think of that, but that's really nice. Like I just sort of looked at it from there and been like, yeah, of course the Dark Order got the win. Of course the heels got beaten. There's the baby faces stood tall, if you want to call the Dark Order baby. I mean, at this point, I think you have
to baby faces here.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I think they have to be sort of a face act now. You can't really present these guys as dark wacky heels now. That has to be wacky baby faces. I loved this next match. Dark Order and Lance Archer versus Eddie Kingston's family. Just from, you know, it was the original Dark Order of Uno and Grayson coming out, and then Lance Archer joining them, and he was dressed as Luke Harper, or, you know, like, you know what Brody had won on the indies as well. He had the bandana and everything, the blue jeans, the wife beater. Like, he looked he looked so cool. It was a really, really lovely tribute.
Yeah, it was. And even during, you know, during the course of the match, I haven't seen a face Lance Archer before. I now want to, because this was amazing, because he was obviously tagging with the babyface duo of the Dark Order for this show. And just seeing him, you know, do his stuff running wild in the Luke Harper getup was awesome. So, so good. And like you said, it was a genuinely really, really good match as well. Shockingly, who'd have thunk it? They're all six very, very talented wrestlers. It was so, so good and such a nice tribute to everyone involved. And, you know, like you mentioned in your editor review, Stu Grayson, once again, just being like, he's so good. And him and Uno hitting the fatality and getting the win at the end of the match was lovely. It was great.
That that Grayson DDT on the apron was like that man is like, it's almost like pack levels of gravity does not affect him. Like gravity works so differently for Stu Grayson than it does a lot of other wrestlers. Like he used to, when they first started doing Dynamite episodes and they were in the tag tournament thing, and he did this giant cannonball like dive over the corner post, like onto, I think it was SCU on the outside. Like it was like just insane stuff. Like the guy is amazing. But he wasn't the only one who had these great spots in there. There was a moment when Kingston and Uno had this like slapping match, and it was like this, just, it felt so meaty, and it felt like Kingston can take a beating, man. Like he can take an absolute beating, and Uno just gave just as good as he got. And then you had Lance versus the Butcher, and this is like two big hoss dudes doing big hoss stuff. And it was just like, oh, it was so lovely. Like I like you said, like I don't think I've seen Lance Archer work as a babyface since he was Lance Hoyt in TNA. Like, you know, it was like when he was like a real, like, you know, this young kid. But yeah, he's got a lot of great babyface fire to him. And I thought all six men did an amazing job in this match. I thought it was just worked brilliantly.
Yeah. And also there's also a couple of moves in there thrown in that were tributes to Brody as well. Like Grayson hit the black hole slam as a nice little tribute, which is great. The crowd pop in for all these moves as well was great. I'm so glad that they got to have at least some fans in attendance for this, because I felt like it would have felt very, not necessarily hollow, but it wouldn't have had the same impact, I think, if there hadn't been some sort of people in attendance. So I'm really glad they got some people in at least for this, which is great.
And I think they said as well, like it's the most people they've had in attendance, you know, since sort of like the COVID era of AEW. Like this is the most people they've had in the building. And I think there was a lot of people who really wanted to be there tonight for this, for obvious reasons. And yeah, you're right. Like there were little things. And I think it's a testament to how beloved Brody Lee was as a wrestler, even like Luke Harper, just to John Huber himself, how beloved he was as a wrestler, because people knew his spots. Like, you know, it was the same with the Raw show on Monday. When, you know, when Ricochet and Woods hit those discus clotheslines, people knew, oh, that's a tribute to Brody. When Ten got to do the power bomb, they were like, well, that's a tribute to Brody. The boss man slam, I was like, that's a tribute to Brody, because people loved watching him wrestle, so they know his moveset.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so, so cool. Like we mentioned on the Raw podcast as well, it's great just to see these moves, but also to have them properly acknowledged and, you know, saying there was a couple of bits where I think it might have been Lance Archer actually that at times did something and went, that one's for you, Brody. It was just like, yeah, it was lovely. Yeah.
So, so good. I really enjoyed the match. And then afterwards, they all beat up Eddie Kingston, you know.
Yeah.
Like, just wonderful scene, because he's so good at like being the pinball, as sort of like people sort of punch him around. Commentary burying Kingston throughout this match as well. Like, just shut that man up, because he's such a great heel. And and then in all of this, Jake Roberts, like, you know, hits the short arm clothesline. As Brian Alvarez called it, it's the greatest rainmaker that's been hit in recent memory. Oh man, like that really, like that was like my first big sort of like snorting, like sort of crying moment of just like snorting tears out of my face.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the time I was sort of welled up, but like that was the moment for me, man. It was absolutely, it was so lovely.
Yeah, it was. After that, yeah, we got some more talking heads, excuse me, with I think it was Dax, Arn Anderson, Colt Cabana, and Bryce Remsburg. All of them saying their pieces on it, how much of a lovely man he was, more than just a wrestler. Arn had a really fun story about them always being kind of like pranksters at the back. It was always him and Amanda and Brody Jr. always messing around backstage at the shows. And yeah, Bryce Remsburg through the tears saying that if there was a Mount Rushmore of wrestling dads, Brody would be on it. Yeah, it's lovely. It's great. That's right.
Don't you start, because you'll get me going. I think this was probably everyone's favorite match of the night, for obvious reasons, because it was so great. Hangman Adam Page teaming with John Silver and Alex Reynolds to take on the total dicks of Inner Circle of Santana, Ortiz, and MJF. MJF dialing his heel shtick up to 99, like
to a point where it almost made me uncomfortable.
Right? Yeah. I know, because the first thing he does is he walks up to Brody's kid and just starts yelling at him. And I'm
like... And I knew he was going to get his comeuppance for that. But even at the time, I was just like, I don't know if you should be doing that on a tribute show. But it was great.
It totally worked me. It totally worked me, because like I, for whatever, I mean, you know, maybe I wasn't in the right, but I did not see the spot at the end coming. Like I really did. I totally should have. Of course I should have done. But I just thought, like, him just being this total knob, like, throughout this match, it was really wonderful to see, because you wanted then to see, because that's how good MJF is as a heel, is you want to see him get his ass kicked. Like, this isn't Miz go-away heat. This is, like, no, this is pure heel heat of just being like, I want to see you get beaten up so bad. And this whole match, because John Silver has, I think he's really taken this hard. He has taken Brody's death very, very hard. And I think this was a really nice chance for him to, you know, wear the Brody Lee gear that had been made for him. Apparently it was a gift by Brody. And the whole match was built around him. The whole match was built around him getting that hot tag so that he could come in and just run wild. And bloody hell, has he got a hot tag in him. He's got such incredible fire, and like he hit all of his spots. It was absolutely amazing to see Hungy run wild. Like it really put a smile on my face.
Yeah, it was amazing. And I think one of the things that made me kind of laugh cry on this show was when Wardlow got involved, came in and clotheslined, I think it was Reynolds. And then just as he's standing in the ring, out comes Redbeard Rowan out of nowhere, out the back, hits his, you know, his big kind of iron claw slam, and then kind of brawls Wardlow out to the back. What a brilliant idea to bring him in. So good, because that's what he's most known for, is tagging with Rowan more than anything. The most time that he spent, I should say, has been tagging with Rowan as either part of the Wyatt family or as Bludgeon Brothers. There was that one time where Rowan was with after post Daniel Bryan, and he came back for like a very brief reconciliation with Rowan. That it was a genius move to have him come out, and it hit me so hard just seeing him come out there to honor Brody. And then of course he came back after the match as well. But a moment I did want to touch on, just at the finish, when it was now 3-on-1, all three of the babyface team were standing there, and the other two just stood aside and let John Silver just get in there, hit the discus clothesline, and just pick up the win. And he immediately just broke down crying as well afterwards. So good.
Yeah, he just absolutely just collapsed. Like, he got the pin and then that was it. He was on the floor, and he, you know, took Silver and Paige and sort of Rowan to, you know, come down there and sort of pick him back up off his feet, you know, so that he could have this moment. It was, it was so, like, I think him and Anna Jay, I think, were really, really affected by this. And I think you could see that in both of their matches. And I think for him to be able to finish off this match with the discus clothesline in the Brody Lee gear, and it was great. Like, and you're right as well, like with the Redbeard stuff, Eric Redbeard, or Rowan, you know, as he was in WWE. I made this joke in the shoot interviews thing, the video that we had up yesterday, You know, I re-recorded some of it because of Brody's passing. But I made the joke in that the Brody Lee's WWE run can be summed up as tagged with Eric Rowan, because tagged with him in the Wyatt family in NXT, tagged with him in the Wyatt family in the main roster. Then they split him up for a bit. Then he tagged with him as a Bludgeon brother. Then he disappeared. And the big creative idea was to bring him back and have him tag with Eric Rowan. So, like, you're right. Like, his WWE run, he spent so much time tagging with Rowan that it was really nice for them to have Rowan a part of this show. You know, not everyone who loved Brody Lee and knew him way better than any of us ever could didn't get to be a part of this show, but I'm really glad that Rowan did. And it clearly meant so much to him, because he came down afterwards with that sign, you know, which was, it was a story that was shared after Brody Lee's passing, that he would end every conversation, like when you're going home to your family, with like goodbye forever, because he would want those couple of days that he'd have with his family to last forever. And, you know, he sort of paraphrased it to be like, just goodbye for now. And it was, yeah. I've seen a lot of people say that was the moment that really got them. And yeah, it was a really, really touching moment for him. I'm glad that he was able to be part of it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. go on, sorry.
We had a promo after that from Eddie Kingston. We already know that Eddie can cut a mean promo. This was... It wasn't a promo, but it's one of his best promos. God, just the amount of emotion that is behind Eddie at all times, but especially in this particular memory he shared was... I don't know what other adjectives to use, because we've said lovely, heartwarming, emotional. It was all of those things. It was a perfect tribute, as is the name of the stream. It was just so nice.
It was such a great promo, like such a lovely way to pay his respects and talk about, again, you know, what a great family man he was. And yeah, that it was really, really touching. And like, as Kingston earlier in the show, because he had to be the heel tonight, you know, so he's like, you know, I love you, brother, you know, and I'm gonna miss you, but also I'm a heel, blah, 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 you all suck, or whatever it was. So I'm glad that he got to have this as well, so that he could, you know, properly pay his respects and say the things that he wanted to say. And there were people like, you know, I always think of Jeff Jarrett on the Owen Hart tribute show, you know, where he was like just speaking through the tears and like really struggling. And you saw that with Remsburg on this show, and you saw it, you know, with Kingston here, like really struggling to hold things back and hold back that emotion. So it was good. It was nice to see. And as Jericho said on this show, like, it's okay to cry at all times. It really is, because crying is a very healthy thing to do. It's good to get emotions out. You shouldn't keep things bottled up. And I think this has been, it's good. Like, you know, Rich said to us before, producer Rich said, like, if you need to cut this short, or, you know, he's got an intermission thing. And I was like, I think it's just, it's good for, if we need to cry, then we cry. Like, it's a good thing for us to do.
Yeah.
And Anna Jay had the, you know, similar thing. It was her and Ty Conti versus Britt Baker and Penelope Ford. And, you know, it was the same match, but it was the match it needed to be. Heels worked over Ty Nara Conte to build up to that Anna Jay hot tag. And as I said in the review, Anna Jay, you know, 22 years old. Like, this is her first year in professional wrestling, her first real year in professional wrestling. And she is clearly someone that Brody took under a wing to be like, here is how we can make you better. And I think that she is better, you know, for the work that she's done. And I think she's really grown as a wrestler all year long. And this was really good. And you know what? Ty Conti was great in this match as well. Like, not to take anything away from her, like, her judo throws and stuff were like really, really awesome. And I thought Baker and Ford did their jobs absolutely perfectly, you know, with Kip and Miro on the outside. Yeah. As you said, we kind of run out of adjectives. It was just lovely.
It was so good. And you could see, like you mentioned earlier with John Silva, you could see Anna was kind of breaking down towards the end of the match, but managed to, you know, hold it together to at least finish the match off, which was nice. And then, yeah, they just got to celebrate afterwards. And like you said, it was lovely. I really don't have anything else to say. It was so, so nice.
And after the match, Tony Schiavone got in the ring to... So Britt Baker cut a promo. I love, you know, basically, like, it's all rigged. This is rigged. Ty Conti's rigged. Anna Jay's rigged. You could say that this was all a big rig. You know, it was just a really cute thing to kind of set up. And then Thunder Rosa comes down and they had a little brawl. I'm surprised they did a brawl, really. I mean, I know it's to set up their match in a couple of weeks, but I don't know. It just sort of felt a bit out of place on this show. Like, it's
a little bit.
I wasn't sure about that one. Same with, like, everyone grieves differently. Everyone's, you know, can pay their respects differently. And I'm really glad that Jericho got to pay his respects the way that he did. But his story was that they were in Saudi Arabia and he was annoyed at a sticker on a ceiling. He was so annoyed by this sticker, and Brody came to hang out with him, and Brody pointed out to him that that is the arrow that is pointing to Mecca. And he's like, how do you know that? And he's like, well, of course, because everyone knows that. It was such a Jericho story.
Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. Because, of course, everyone else's memories of him were, you know, super emotional and deep and meaningful. And this one just felt like a little bit of a, this is what he was like normally.
Yeah.
This exactly. is just a lighthearted, like, here's an example of Brody being Brody. It was a nice, I don't want to call it a palate cleanser, because it was still emotional, but it was a different kind of emotion. And it just, it helped kind of ease the tension a little bit, because you just had back to back to back to back lots of very heavy crying segments, and this kind of eased the pain a little bit, which was nice.
And then our main event, wrestling main event at the very least, handpicked by Brody Jr., Team Taz versus his favorite wrestlers, Cody Rhodes, Orange Cassidy, and Ten. Again, really good stuff. Team Taz were, you know, the perfect heels for this. And you got to have Cody getting the hot tag. The Ten, you know, being the big one you're building up to. Ten getting the big hot tag. Did an amazing powerbomb in all of this. Arn Anderson and Taz have a bit of a sort of a tete-a-tete at ringside. And then the babyface run wild, and Ten hits the spine buster for the win and stand tall. And it was, yeah, again, just a really, really good match to have on this show. And it was lovely that it was Brody Jr. that picked this match. Like, and I love that they gave him that chart. You know, that I was like, if you could pick a wrestling match, like, what would you pick? Like, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, such a nice idea. So well executed. To have the, you know, the relative nobody in Ten to team with Orange Cassidy and Cody, and to give him the win, you know, as part of the Dark Order and all that. It was so good. I've run out of words. It was lovely. But I don't think I was quite prepared for what came after it, which was the end of the show, which was Tony Khan and Cody and Brody Jr. and Amanda and Ten still in the ring. They got Brody's boots, and they put him in the center of the ring with his bandana, and they essentially sent him off in the nicest way. And Tony Khan then gave the TNT championship to Brody Jr. And it was revealed afterwards that they're going to retire the current design of the TNT championship, and they're going to, they crowned him the TNT champion for life, because they're going to redesign it so that that design is Brody's design, and Brody Jr. gets to carry that as his design.
Watching Brody Jr. Retire those boots and, put the boots in the middle, and that was like a really like heartbreaking moment. You're like seeing Amanda, you know, being consoled by Preston Vance, Ten, and TK. Like I Cody struggled to get through his promo anyway, just sort of talking about what a great man he was. But TK, like you could tell that TK was like, he was struggling because he was trying to like rush through his lines. So there, and I can appreciate this because I did this on the news today. Like, you know, I broke down a little bit when I was doing the news today, but that's, and I was trying to rush through because I was trying to fight back the tears. And I think that's what TK was doing today. So I can really appreciate what he was going through. And, he had a way harder job than I had to do. And it was that line of just like, you know, Brody is the greatest TNT champion ever, you know, no disrespect to Cody, you know, the first ever TNT champion, and like giving him that belt and saying that he is, for, you know, it's the TNT champion for life. I'm going to get a new belt design. It was so lovely. And then they played this absolutely fantastic video package for him. And I'm not going to make this, and I hope the chat hasn't either. I'm from what I can gather, I think the chat's been lovely today. but I don't want to make this a company versus company thing. But one of the things I really appreciate about AEW in all of this is that they did not ignore his past. They did not ignore the fact that he was in, you know, he was in WWE for a long, long time. So in this video package that they played, they showed pictures of that. They didn't squirrel away from that, didn't hide away from it. It's like, this is what he was. So they showed pictures of him with Seth Rollins, with Big E, with Bray Wyatt, like, you know, hanging out with Bray Wyatt and like in his kids. And like, it was so lovely. And I don't know if you saw this, but Tony Khan has bought the rights to the song in perpetuity. So that tribute video is going to be around forever. This isn't going to be a state where, like, in 10 years time, a different track has to go onto that, you know, on the right. Like, Tony Khan has paid outright for that in perpetuity. So we never have to change the song on that video version. It was such a lovely song choice to use. And
it was.
Yeah, it was. Oh man, it was such a good video.
It was. as one final thought, I guess, before we get onto the ultra chats and all that, I thought it was super fitting that Brody was called the Exalted One, because he is now. Like, the textbook definition of exalted is a person at high or powerful level, and I thought that was just spot on for what he's left.
It was really good. So that was the show. It was. Yeah, it was all right. It was a perfect show.
It was an absolutely perfect
tribute show. I think the AEW did Brody proud. I think they did the family proud. And I haven't seen a bad word said about this show. We didn't put a poll up for it, but I cannot imagine, even with Twitter, which is like the wretched hive of scum and villainy, I don't even think even on Twitter someone would have said that was a bad show. I think everyone, it would have been like 100% outright an excellent show. But it was not. It's not here to score this. It was just a great, perfect tribute show for a great man.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Nothing else to add.
Do you like quizzes? Do you like wrestling? Do you like watching self-professed experts in their fields being exposed as dangerous frauds? Then you'll love Quizzlemania, brought to you by Parts Funknown, the team behind acclaimed wrestling RPG No Rolls Barred. Join us every week as four wrestling pundits pit their knowledge against each other in a cerebral wrangle for prizes, glory, and a bit of good old-fashioned escapism. Enjoy the videos live every Wednesday on Parts Funknown's YouTube channel, or subscribe right now to have them beam straight to your mobile device. Quizzlemania, it's the showcase of the Immorons.
Well, we have got a lot of hyper chats to get into. Thank you all so much. Ding, ding, ding. This is obviously your last call for hyper chats. As we said at the top of this show, all money from these hyper chats will be going through to the Huber family, or you know, a donation of their choosing, a charity of their choosing. So also go and buy Brody's t-shirt. I ordered mine today. All the proceeds of that are going through to 100% of the proceeds of that are going to the Huber family as well. I think 2020 has shown that the wrestling community, when we can get together and we can stand together, we are a really good bunch of people. We saw that at, you know, when the pandemic first hit and a lot of people lost their jobs. We saw that during speaking out and people standing up for what they believe in. And we're seeing it again here. So continue to do that. It's good to support these people. So Leon Kweshi says, magnificent tribute show. Another wrinkle to the Hangman Dark Order was that the Inner Circle guys were also mourning others. MJF just lost his granddad. Santana just lost his stepfather. Pretty cathartic stuff when Rowan Redbeard ran out. Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but that's, you're absolutely right. Like,
yeah.
Because MJF and Santana literally had that segment last week with the talking about. Nate says, man, we talk about moments when we'd be embarrassed if someone walked in watching wrestling, but this is now always to be the first thing I point to show why I'm proud to be a wrestling fan. Go on, tell me it's silly and fake now. I love this community.
Absolutely right. Yeah, spot on, mate.
Michael Dominguez, I thought I was the only one tearing up. Then Jericho said, it's okay to cry. He's written here, Chopper was crying in the ring. John Silver was crying in the ring with Big Red. Luke on the news, support wrestling. Nah, just support each other.
Absolutely.
The fact that you look like John Silver made that bit hurt even more, man. Like,
I was considering making a joke about it, and I was like, that's not the kind of thing you joke about.
No, it's fine, no. Nate S, things that jumped out of my seat and popped for Stu Grayson's sidewalk slam and the Brody pose, Lance Harper. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Jake clothesline, everything silver. Oh man, we didn't even talk about the fact that like the spot at the end of the MJF match. I cannot believe skip past it because we want to talk about how good Stu Grayson was. But you're like, so and you know how John Silver, but anyway, so the end of the match is MJF gets in the face of Negative One, Brody's kid, and he takes the mask off like a pro. Negative One shies away from the camera, hides his face, and grabs the kendo stick, and he wallops MJF with it. It was, oh man, it was so lovely. Like, I proper, like, you couldn't stop me smiling.
Yeah, straight over the head, and MJF sold it like a champ. Went down like a ton of bricks. It was great.
He's the best heel. I laughed and I cried for pretty much everything else. That's from Nate. NS Ogre says, I've cried so much for someone I've only met a couple of times. All the reviews today have had me crying all over again. Send all my love to those that really knew him and his family. AEW is effing amazing for what they did and they are doing. Genetic Ghost says, last night's show was a perfect example of what a tribute show should be. The best gift Negative One could have right now is to be included in something that he loves. He loves his dad and he loves wrestling, and everyone at AEW made him feel special. It's a class act.
Yeah, and even the little bits of them cutting away on the camera to Negative One in the crowd and all the wrestlers around him like hyping him up and being like, yeah, let's go, and him having a great time in the crowd. Oh, it was so, so, so good.
Yeah, Austin Gunn was like, because Alan Angels was out there the whole time with him. But yeah, like Austin Gunn was there to be like the way, like he was. Yeah, I thought they did a really great job. The Adnab 2, Brody's greatest legacy in AEW is getting the Dark Order over. Rest in peace. Yeah, I mean, you actually mentioned this in your video. You were the only one to have in the video yesterday. But like, the Dark Order were not an act that was taken seriously until Brody Lee got involved.
No, not at all. And almost single-handedly, the rest of the Dark Order are very talented. But it took Brody coming in to make everyone else be taken seriously, for everyone else to re-look at those people and be like, actually, no, Evil Uno's a great promo. Stu Grayson's really good in the ring. Look at John Silver. He's the best. Everyone had that new perception because Brody came in and made everyone else look like a star. That's what Brody does.
Yeah. Just Felix crying the whole time. Love the people around. Love the people around you whilst you can. An excellent message there. Harry Iverson, the show was amazing. Last time I remember being this upset about a wrestler passing was when Eddie died. John will be remembered forever as a kind-hearted man who was an amazing talent, took too soon from us. Here's to you, Brody. Mike Jensen, I think Jericho nailed commentary. Him starting by saying, if you want to cry, then you do it. Then Rowan, Redbeard, Rowan, putting over 10. He was fantastic to be himself and fit in great with the other three. Yeah, I mean, Jericho was perfect because Jericho wasn't, he was being the Jericho character. He was still being Le Champion. He was still being the demo guard, but he was also just getting over the great emotion of the night. Anonymous says, this show was for his son and he enjoyed it. Seeing him smile made me happy to see that that he's doing good. Brody, are you crying, you little bitch? Yes, MJF, the MVP of this. And his did you see MJF's tweet after?
Yeah. So good. Classic heel.
Go and check out MJF's Twitter because he's kind of promo on the kid, basically. It's so good. Hexar one says, I truly feel for John Silver, seeing him struggle to come out for the first match of the tribute show, how much John Huber meant to him.
Yeah,
that's amazing stuff. I'll do a couple more and then I'll pass over to you. Matthew McFadden said, I think the best way of describing the show was, it's the best possible show I wish I never had to watch. AEW's quick turnaround to create this tribute should never go unnoticed. Also, John Silver deserves everything in this world. We're all Dark Order. Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
Mike Jensen said, the fact that Tony Khan could put this together in a couple of days, the talent being willing to do all that they did when they should be off, since I believe the New Year show was already taped, shows you all you need to know of what they think of Brody.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that much. But yeah, it just goes to show.
Go on.
Yeah, got one here from Sean Cartier that said, cry during the 10 bell salute, especially seeing so many of the wrestlers crying. After that, I held it together until Eric came out with that sign. That really broke me. The ending with Brody's son too, it was such a perfect and beautiful tribute show.
Yeah,
definitely. Jesus.
Can we have that the Eric picture back up again? That'd be lovely as well.
Yeah, please.
Pete reads the next one.
Think is K said, hey guys, one of the best tribute shows I've ever seen. I cried from start to finish. I cried even harder when Eric Rowan showed up. And then the ending segment broke me. Rest in peace, Brody. Love you.
Yeah, the outpouring of love for Brody has been so amazing.
I can't recall anything on this scale in ages. Not that I can remember, to put it in that perspective. CM Chris said, what a tribute show by AEW, even if there wasn't much storyline stuff going on, but just wonderful all the same. Thank you, Luke and Pete, and everyone at WrestleTalk for making 2020 better for me and probably everyone else. Hashtag thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. Corey Lamb said, 2020 has been a year. It was hard not to tear up last night watching the show. Watching Luke this morning got me going again. Thanks to AEW for putting on a great year of shows and wonderful tribute yesterday. Thanks, WrestleTalk family, for being there this year.
Yeah, to anyone who cried watching me doing the news, sorry. Sorry about that.
I did as well.
Sorry.
Selfish so-and-so. where did I get to? New Park Rants says, I cried every day. I tear up at the thought of him passing. Brody and Bray got me back into wrestling, and without Harper, I doubt I'd still be a fan. When Silver cried, I lost it. Hard to watch, but needed. I love AEW. Rest in peace, Brody.
Yeah, my buddy and I were texting about Bray's Instagram post, and the moment when he said we were supposed to get old, bald, and fat and be wrestling in our 70s in gymnasiums in front of 10 people doing the Wyatt family gimmick. I was like, yes, that is what we should have had.
Yeah, it is. Mike Jensen said, MJF is flipping fantastic. He's still never broken character, and it played so well tonight. Kudos to him and letting Negative One take him out. Also, tip of the hat to the wrestler who stood with Negative One the whole show. I don't remember who it was. Yeah, I think you mentioned earlier.
Alan Angels. Yeah, absolutely. And that was the joke that we made at the start of the show as well. They've already booked MJF versus Brody Lee Jr. Probably for 10 years' time.
Yeah, 10 years' time. When he turns of age, get that match going. Kevin says, I've been watching wrestling for 12 years. I never cried. No tears of joy, pain, sadness. I felt I was just heartless. And then Cody and TK gave Brody Jr. the TNT belt. Thank you, AEW, for reminding me that I do have a heart. Rest in power, John.
Yeah,
it's lovely. Callum W46 says, I lost it after Silver won his match. Just streams of tears. R.A.P. Brody, I'm with you. Mike Jensen again says, Eric Redbeard coming out was brilliant. I hope they can incorporate him into some kind of story going forward because he's a fantastic talent. He is.
Yeah, really is. I'll take over for now. Joshua Boy says, normally watch AEW on ITV on a Saturday morning, but last night felt I had to stay up and watch it live. What a great show. I cried the whole time. This man was truly loved. Yeah, I'm gonna watch the replay of this show, I think, when it's on ITV.
Yeah.
James Hanley, as a father of two young children, it was painful to watch this episode, but it was cathartic. In a year of grief, I used wrestling as my escape, but you can't escape the reality of that grief. It was a wonderful send-off, emphasized by what really matters. Jam that jam. Yeah, I can't even. Yeah. Dorian McCann, when you've been a wrestling fan as long as I have, you sadly see your share of tribute shows. AEW has done the best job of any tribute show I've ever seen. It wasn't about ratings or storylines. It was about Brody and his family. AEW is a family. So lovely. Yeah, Dorian, I agree with you, man. Like, I opened up the tribute video that's going out tomorrow being like, one of the suckiest things about being a wrestling fan is you see so many die so young. And it's just this harsh reality of this cruel business. Charles Berg is, as silly as it may seem, Dr. Seuss said it best. He said, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened. That was a touching tribute. If you're going to do one thing every day, make sure it's something nice. If you can make someone smile, make them smile. R.A.P. John. Hey, that Dr. Seuss, he's a smart one. Yeah. JMC 2909, Lance Archer doing the Undertaker's top rope old school into a moonsault was something to behold. I think I cried after every match, R.I.P.
I did.
Rangers Mayhem, seeing how much Brody affected non-former WWE wrestlers is absolutely amazing, only being in the company for a few months. R.I.P. Brody Lee. Side note, John Silver to be a champion in 2021. Like, I think you could certainly get him in that TNT title picture, or, you know, in the tag scene. Yeah, absolutely. Hey, the mayor of Painesville, Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
This was a wonderful show, an absolutely perfect tribute. I thought I'd make it through, but then Rowan came out. I hope this really helps everyone find a bit of peace. 2021, I wish we continue what Brody Lee made us do last night. And that's stay together.
Yeah.
Brett J. Rasman says, I cried, I laughed, I screamed with joy throughout the entire episode. My favorite match of the night was the sixth man with Silver, Reynolds, and Hangman. Everyone, including Brody Jr., looked amazing in that match. Brody was one of my favorites. Yeah. Do you want to take a look? Basically, we'll do a page each. I think that might be
sure, yeah. Dan H. said, the show was amazing with so many little details over the whole show. The last segment when the spotlight hit the boots was such an amazing visual. Thank you guys for everything you've done in 2020 to keep us entertained. That was an amazing visual. It was spot on, mate. Sawyer said, babyface wrestling company. Aside for when commentary talked about the big turnout, there wasn't a single crowd shot. No random shots of crying fans. Tony Khan shoot retiring the TNT belt to give it to Junior. 10 out of 10 class. Best show of the year.
Yes, yeah, a lot of people say that. I saw a lot of people said that six-man tag in the Inner Circle one was like, that's a match of the year candidate. Like it,
yeah, that's great. Ryan Christensen says, what a beautiful tribute show AEW put on. I went through every emotion last night watching. I cried, I laughed, I cheered, I cried some more. My condolences to the Huber family and all their friends. R.I.P. Brody. Kriya C., said Luke Harper was my all-time favorite Wyatt family member. His talent was just outstanding. At the moment you first lay your eyes on him, you knew he was going to be a star. Debuting on AEW made me really pop, knowing he has a new and better home.
Yeah, I mean, I was always been a Luke Harper mark. Like when I first saw him in NXT, that was actually my introduction to him was NXT in the Wyatt family, and this was before like NXT was on the network and stuff. Like this was like, you know, the days when it was just sort of like a TV show in the UK and like various other countries. And my buddy was taping it and like, I'd go around and watch it. And I was like, who is this guy? Like this guy's awesome. He is an absolute star. Like he just had everything you needed as in a wrestler.
Yeah, exactly. Wayne Pereira said Silver just posted a video on Twitter of Negative One hitting members of the Dark Order with a kendo stick, saying, just for the record, Brody Jr. aka Negative One beat us up worse than Mr. Brody ever has. So much love in that locker room. There is.
Speaking of which, that moment at the start of that six-man tag where they all took out the papers and threw them at Sans Rons, it's just so beautiful. Like that being the Elite episode was so lovely, you know, for all of, like showing all those moments of them throwing the papers and everyone taking the big bumps for them. The best one is still Sue, Trent's mom Sue, because she missed and you can see Brody break, like you can see him break character. Do it again.
So good, yeah. Brett J. Fresmussen said, I loved everything that Brody Lee did. I marked out so hard when Brody debuted as the Exalted One. My favorite Brody match is probably a tie between Mox versus Brody for the AEW belt and his final match, Cody versus Brody in the dog collar match.
Yeah, damn, man. That Mox Brody match is so great. Really, really good. I think it's one of the most underrated matches of the year. I think people really, because it was so early on in like it was overshadowed massively by Stadium Stampede. I really think people need to go out of their way to rewatch that match.
Agreed, yeah. Dorian McCann said, watching the YouTube post-game show last night, Lance Archer said that Brody's wife was unaware of his idea to dress as Luke Harper until she saw him hit the ring. I had tears when I saw Lance in the white t-shirt and bandana. Such a lovely tribute.
That was so great. Yeah. Zach Robinson, this was a hard show to watch, but an incredible performance from all involved last night. Silver needs pushing to the moon after that match. He really should keep wrestling in the Brody gear. Negative One being given the TNT title to such a class act. Brett J. Rasmussen, I loved hearing Silver's story of how Brody bought him his new ring gear, bought the new gear that cost him over $1,000 just to do a bit. Brody chose to be the leader of the Dark Order, a faction that no one took seriously until he showed up. R.I.P. Brody. Brett again said, it's amazing that AEW retired the current design of the TNT belt and gave it to Brody Jr. I broke at the end when he and Amanda left Brody's boots in the ring. I loved seeing the final video package with all of the pictures from what he did. SMB, last night was an emotional wrestling show. Last night was the most emotional wrestling show I've ever seen, and this is the most emotional stream I've ever watched. Bless you both. I've been crying along with you. Rest in power, Brody. Again, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Matthew Robinson, words don't say enough for the tribute to Brody Lee. Simply wow. I love you guys. Love you too. Ryan Nocta, it's the little things that got me. Colt Cabana finally putting the hand sign up and accepting his place in the Dark Order. You love to see it. All the tributes were amazing. My family have no idea why I'm bawling my eyes out. A lovely show, you guys. Blind Raw said, it's okay to cry, damn it. It really is. This is for Big Rig. Much love to the Huber family. I can't wait for Brody Jr. to come back with that belt to a mega pop.
Imagine 10 years time. No one's seen him in 10 years and he just comes out with the original TNT title. Oh my goodness. Chocobo Sage 31 said, nice review, lads. I bought a Brody shirt from PWT soon as they said funds were going to his family. So good to see the entire wrestling community join together to celebrate the Exalted One. I noticed Brian Pillman Jr. was right next to young Brody all night. I think that was
Yeah, I mean, they had quite a few of the wrestlers around, you know, sort of like, you know, Griff Garrison was probably there as well. And they gave him a great time.
They did, yeah. Zach Robinson said, found this hard to phrase, but where do you see Dark Order going from here? They got a clean sweep and should absolutely capitalize on that. But should there be a new leader, i.e. Evil Uno or Grayson, or should they try and go on as they are? Hashtag join the Dark Order.
I've absolutely no idea. Like, I haven't really given it much thought of where you go next for them. I don't know.
No, totally.
I'm sure they'll have something in mind.
Baby faces.
That's
about it. I don't know. Brett J. Rasmussen again says, also my favorite bit from BT with Brody Lee was the bit where with Sue when she gave the Dark Order cookies and Brody blames Silver for not liking her cooking and she throws the papers at Silver and Brody tells Silver that he better fall for her. LMAO. Yes.
So great.
Yeah. Ready Set Mech said the tribute shows was really touching. The Eddie Kingston speech made me cry so much. AEW did an amazing job and show how much they miss and loved Brody so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. Planet Dan said, I was smiling and in tears throughout the show. I never cry. I don't have tears, but I did watching this perfect, beautiful tribute. John will be smiling and he'll be incredibly proud of all his friends and family. RIP Brody Lee, a true legend. Calamo 7 said, best dynamite of the year for the story and the emotion. Happy to cry for such an amazing man. Silver, Reynolds and Page with the papers was an awesome tribute. Thank you, Brody. JBurk306 said, have to see what Lance Archer says on AEW post show. Apparently it's very good. OGP, yeah, you know me, said, love the show, especially the Pete match, the John Silver match, with that flipping ankle led destroyer. That was so good. That spot was amazing. RAP Brody. That spot was so cool, and I love that the commentary all were just like, what the hell was that, and like in reverence of what they just saw. It was great. Such a good spot.
Mohammed just simply says, RIP John. Gazzatolo of Rock and Roll, a few years back I went to a WWE live show in Brighton. We saw the wrestlers getting off the bus. We went over to take some pics. Harper, as he was then, was very over and loads of people were vying for his attention, so I shouted Brody Lee as I'd seen some of his work on the indies. Highly recommend a series match against Cesar and Chikara. He turned, he smiled, looked like he was about to walk over, but security ushered the wrestlers away. RIP Brody Lee, the world will miss you. SMB says, hey guys, losing Brody has been the hardest loss to the wrestling community I can remember in 23 years of watching. I wish he got to be WWE champion. He deserved it and he was always had that aura. I haven't had a dry eye since. Bless you, Luke. I cried along with you. Louis. Hey, man. Louis Dangor said, just want to pay my respects to Brody and help out, even in this small way. Brody Lee had such an impact on me and my limited interactions we had made me feel like a friend. RIP Brody, and the condolences to his family and friends. Louis got a really, really lovely message in tomorrow's tribute video. Sanity Life says, we love you, Brody, and we cherished all these moments together with you. RIP Brody Lee. The Adnap 2 said, I always thought WWE wasted John Huber, but looking back, he did have a great run. Wyatt family was a great stable, nice IC title run, two main card WrestleMania matches, and a great match with a generous Randy Orton. He was underused, but definitely not wasted. That's a really nice way to put it, Adnap 2, absolutely.
Yes.
Man, a huge, huge donation. £100 in from This Is K. That's so, so lovely to say. This one's for Brody's family. Thank you so much for that. I'm sure they'll really, really appreciate this in you know, what is a very tough time. Just Felix says, Brody never got his live audience pop in AEW. I'm crying again now. Yeah, we didn't get that.
Yeah.
That Rochester pop that we could have had.
Yeah. Such a shame.
Yeah. I'll pass over to you.
Lawstown said, I never thought I could miss someone I'd never met so much, but John/Brody/Harper was a hero of mine that made me start pro wrestling in September 2019 and motivated me into acting and what I'm doing now. AEW did a beautiful job. So much love, John Huber. Connor said, what a fantastic and amazing father and wrestler Brody Lee was. Such an amazing man in and outside the ring. RIP Brody Lee, you will be missed. Bill Hemmett said, RIP Brody, see you on the other side. Anton H said, purchased the Brody Lee t-shirt last night. Obviously, plenty of others had the same idea as the website crashed and had plenty of error messages. It reminded me of trying to buy the PS5 online. RIP John Huber. People love John Huber more than PS5s. There it is. Hell yeah.
I think it was like the fastest selling t-shirt they've had on Pro Wrestling Tees or something. Because obviously, they're designed by order, so it doesn't sell out, which is good because I want my t-shirt. Apparently it was just overwhelmed with support. It's incredible.
Austin Tussie said, when I was young, just getting back into wrestling, I saw a live event with my dad of Roman versus Bray as the main event. I ran down to shake their hands. Everybody went back except for Brody, who wouldn't leave until he shook every fan's hand, even mine. Oh, that's lovely. Yeah, that's really so nice. Did you want to take over for these ones?
I will do indeed. JobberJJ496. Hi, everyone. Sorry that I'm going to watch today. I just can't. I haven't watched AEW either or any other review. One day I'll have more strength to watch. WrestleTalk, the mods, Swath Nation, I love you all. Thanks, JJ. That's really kind of you to say. Carol One said, hey, Luke and Pete, coming in to give my heartfelt thanks to all the WrestleTalk crew on and off screen. You've made my life so much easier in so many ways. The Swath Nation, thank you for being my friends. Happy New Year. I love you all. R.I.P. Brody. Oh, this is going to be some really lovely messages here, isn't it? Scott Young, fair play, Luke. Kept it professional at the end. Not sure I did. I cried. You were emotional, but you held it together for our entertainment. R.I.P. Brody Lee. They say people die twice. Once when they die and once when people stop talking about them. So Lee won't ever die. Ah, oh, such a lovely sentiment. Mike Johnson, to get philosophical for a minute, I'm crying about someone I've never met, being comforted by two people from another continent that I'll probably never meet. And yet it all fits. What a crazy world we live in. Thank you for the recap this morning, Luke. Thank you very much for watching. Choco Taco, first time Ultra Chatter, but I had to break the seal after watching the news with Luke this morning. A lovely show. I hope they never have to do it again. Massive thank you to all of WrestleTalk's coverage. Wrestling Sign Guy, Happy New Year, WrestleTalk community. Thank you so much for including me in the Christmas special. And a shout out to the other handsome men who sent in videos. It means a lot to be part of such a great community, especially in times like this. Yeah, thank you very much for all that video.
Thank you for sending it in. Yeah, appreciate it.
Eddie Carter, rest in peace, Brody Lee. He'll be missed and much love to his family, friends, and peers. The way WrestleTalk and the extended family have reported on the situation has been beautiful and so dignified. Thank you. Much love, RIP, Brody Lee. Rory Bollard, couldn't not send a message. Luke, bro, your review killed me. Just finished the show, and I knew that as soon as I came here, you and Pete would mirror how we're all feeling. I'm so happy that we have all come together to love this man. I'm going to miss you, John. Rest in peace. Mike Jensen, sent for D to the Eagles. I'm COVID poor like most, so I can't highlight my message, but if it does make it through, you guys are wondering, are you guys doing this with your donations? Always my favorite restaurant. Yeah, so all the donations are going through to the Huber family or a charity of their choosing. Do you want to take over the next page?
Thanks, Mike Jensen, for sending that in on behalf of someone else who couldn't as well. That's a very nice thing to do. Thank you very much.
Oh, right. Sorry. Okay, I see now.
Yeah. I think that's what happened anyway.
Well, yeah, I thought he might have been saying like Diggles, as in like I said it for the G to the Eagles, like I did it for the giggles. Like I didn't know.
I don't know. I assume that's what happened. Correct me if I'm wrong. But we got another really nice donation here from Nick Kitchen of £50, which is amazing. Thank you so much. I'm sure that's going to go to very good use with Brody's family. Thank you, Mod Mother Jenna, for confirming that is what happened. Ultra Chatted on behalf of someone else. Thank you. Nick Hitchin said, well done for getting through the review. I'm pretty sure I would have just been a gibbering wreck. Well done, AEW 2. I agree. I mean, imagine having to wrestle a match. We're just sitting here talking about it. Like, whew, they did really well. Daniel Ashraf said, hey, lads, been watching you guys for the last 5 years now. I'm an emotional wreck seeing Luke's review. So happy seeing AEW take care of Brody's family. WWE would never do that. Can't wait to see Brody Lee Jr. wrestle. Keep up the good work. Hashtag jam that jam.
I think that's slightly unfair. I think they would have done.
I agree, 100%.
Reports are that they have filmed stuff. They've been filming a tribute video. I think it's likely going to be on SmackDown this week.
Yes. Clifton Narciss says, Long-time viewer, first-time Ultra Chat. Cannot thank you all you've done this year. Team WrestleTalk, you guys are family away from family. I cried watching AEW last night, but you, Luke, sang Cry Me a River during the review today. RAP Big Rig, love you. Leo Van Meer said you did great on the review, Luke.
Thanks.
Brett J. Rasmussen again said, thank you, WrestleTalk, for what you do, and thank you so much, Brody Lee, for all of the entertainment you gave us. One of the best wrestlers, and even more, what an amazing man to his friends and family. He is exalted in heaven. Love you and miss you, Big Rig. Gregory Nelson said, Luke and Pete, I knew today's stream was going to be an important part of my morning process. Thank you both so much. Love you guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for watching. Mandy Savage said, may tomorrow be better. Love you all, SWAF Nation. Love you too. Matthew Robinson said, thank you again to all of the WrestleTalk team. You guys have made 2020 bearable with all the live streams and Quizzlemanias. Truly thank you from the bottom of my heart. All of you guys have a very happy New Year's. Cheers, Matt the Real Boss Robinson.
Thanks, Matt. That's really, really
thank
appreciated.
Thank you very much.
Uptown Avondale, this is something we actually discussed possibly opening the show with, saying, here's some cash to see Chopper do the Dark Order Claw. The Four Awesome video popped up in my feed, and I lost it again when Adam, Laurie, and Luke helped Warcaster get over 1,000 subs. Love you guys, except Louis, who flipped me off twice. Yeah, we did discuss possibly opening the show doing the Dark Order Claw.
The Dark Order pose, yeah.
Andrew Cook, a very big donation, has said, are you crying? I know I am. RIP John Huber, thank you, WrestleTalk, for all of your great content throughout this tough year. It's really helped.
Thank you.
Psychosis said, first time donation, been watching WrestleTalk since the old Challenge TV days. Bloody hell, that was a long time ago. Started watching AEW Brody Lee review stream from the start now. Well done on an emotional podcast, doing great, Luke and Pete. Hope WWE NXT didn't try to compete this week. Honestly, I've absolutely zero clue what happened on the show. I'll have to watch it at some point, but I have absolutely zero idea what happened.
Yeah.
Hey, Mod Mother's also got a big donation in. Thank you so much. And that's how humble she is. She didn't highlight that it was a big donation. words are hard, so I won't even try. So appreciative of you guys for saying what we can't. RIP Brody Lee. Thank you so much for everything you've done for us this year as well. Hi, Jenna. Lena Bliss, I lost my dad the same day we lost Brody Lee 6 years ago. Felt this on a personal level. God bless his family. Oh, man, so sorry to hear that.
Yeah. There's a few last minute messages as well. One from Abortion Reborn said, 10 years later, MJF with the TNT title, lights go off. It's Wednesday. You know what that means. Appears on the Titantron. Brody Lee Jr. comes out with the original TNT title. That would be incredible.
Yeah,
Jenny, be amazing. Just got a quick previous one as well from Benny Boy that said, Luke, well, Jenna's just got rid of it. I was just reading it, and then Jenna just removed it from the document. I'll get back to that one later, I guess. Josh Joestad, no message, but a donation towards Brody's family. Thank you. Crisper True with a big one. Thank you very much. Mark and Andres here. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. No message, but thank you. Dr. Doom said, I'm not great with words when it comes to moments like this, so just take my tear-drenched money. Thank you very much. We won't be taking it, but Brody Lee's family will. Liam Wales said, nothing but donated. Thank you. Owen Keating said, I remember that number one contender battle royal on SmackDown around Mania 33, where Brody and Styles accidentally got eliminated at the same time, and I was so excited at the potential of Brody being in that Orton-Wyatt match. Rest in power. I agree. Yes.
Yeah, Brody said in his Talk as Jericho interview that was basically the reason why he didn't get a push after because the spot got messed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sucks.
Mental. Yeah. Where did I get to? Benny Boy said, Luke crying on the review was basically me last night. It was absolutely me as well. Dwayne A. Cooley said, I think this hurts a lot of us because it was to be believed he had an ankle injury and we expected him to come back. It hit us differently to hear him unexpectedly pass. RIP Brody Lee.
Yeah, I mean, we've all been talking about how this was, you know, an injury because that was the report because they wanted to keep this quiet. You know, and I think that's very admirable in a professional wrestling world where literally like everything gets leaked out.
Yeah, 100%.
The AEW roster knew how important this was and didn't tell a single person. I think that shows you above any words possibly could how beloved that man was when not even that could get leaked out to, to things like that. So I'm, it's just, incredible stuff.
Yeah. We got one more as well here from Michael Dominguez that said, I ended 2019 comments and brought in 2020. Let me fix this curse. To everyone at WrestleTalk from all the fans, lovely time with the boys. We thank you all for everything you did for us. Shout out to Jobber, Tomo, and Dan for helping create the WrestleTalk family. Thank you very much. Apparently, according to Mod Mother Jenna, the total donations currently is over $750, which is bonkers. That's insane. Well, thank you very much, everyone that has donated today. This money will be going to Brody Lee's family or a charity of their choice, whatever they choose to do with it. Yeah, thank you. As Luke mentioned earlier, it's so nice when people come together as part of the wrestling community. We really can make a difference and look after each other. And above all else, you know, the thing that we say is support each other. And that's really what you got to do. In these times more than any, support each other, please. It's really important. Thank you.
Happy. I've had a day, mate.
You and I
have been chatting all morning. We worked on the news together this morning. You've seen that I've had a day.
Yeah.
It somehow got worse just before we started recording this.
Okay.
So my ring light was in the other room where, like, I was set up to record the news this morning. So I had to get the ring light back in into my office so I could set this up. And I don't know how. I was obviously, I thought to myself, I had way less time to get set up for this podcast. I actually had quite a bit of time, but so I was rushing myself, and in my haste, I booted my door. Like, you know, like the frame bit of the door, that's got the closing bit on it.
Yeah.
I've booted that so hard. I legit think I've broken some toes.
That's not great, mate.
Dude, I fell over. Like, I fell down the floor. And I was trying not to, like, yelp with pain because my wife does. It's my sister-in-law's birthday today. So they're on a Zoom call trying to have, like, a nice time, you know, have some Bellinis or whatever. And it's me, like, on the landing. Just, like, trying not to scream out in pain because I just booted the door so hard. Like, my toe really hurts.
It's not funny, but it's so funny.
My sock off before we started recording this. Genuinely, like, it's swelling up a little bit.
Oh, God. You should really, like, get that checked out, mate.
I'll be fine. But it was really sore. And I'm feeling it now. Yeah. So anyway, so I've had a day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely been a day.
Yeah. So go on, eh?
I was going to say, mine hasn't been quite that bad. So that's good. I didn't kick any door frames. So, you know, take the wins where you can.
I would do. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. To give advice to anyone who is listening to the show today, don't boot any door frames. Like, if you've got to get a ring light from your other bedroom to set up for your podcast to record, don't rush. Don't rush because you may kick a door frame dead hard.
I mean, I also somehow felt rushed in setting up for the podcast today, especially because it's a new setup, because I'm at my parents' place. So I take over the living room every time I do it. For this one, yeah, I also felt really rushed. So I started setting up at like 1:30. It's like, that's just, we go live at 3 p.m. Like, it does not take an hour and a half to set up. But somehow I was like, well, I've not got much time. You know, could take me an hour to set up. It took me like 20 minutes. It's fine.
Yeah, I don't know why we felt so rushed today. But anyway, it's New Year's Eve. Have you got any plans for tonight?
Yes, actually, we're going to do a gaming night with my parents, which I believe I mentioned on After Dark that we recorded. But this is going public for all the listeners. So we're going to be doing it.
I've heard these plans already.
Yes, please react accordingly. So my mum has been cooking all day, and she's going to cook us a very lovely three-course meal. In between the courses, we're going to be playing games. We each get to pick one. Me and my mum and my dad will get to pick one. I picked Ticket to Ride because it's great. I think my mum has said one of the things is we're going to join a Zoom call with some of their friends, and they're doing some sort of quiz.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, that'll be fine.
It's a British standard. It's a British standard for 2020.
And you'll love this one, Luke, because my dad has picked not Uno Rummy. So it's So it's just rummy, but Uno rummy. It's just got Uno tiles instead of normal rummy tiles. So, yeah.
Well,
sure.
There you go. There you go, yeah. Mate.
No, it should be very good.
Where's Ticket to Ride being placed in all of this? Because, like, so, Ticket to Ride, it's not a short game.
It's
also not a shorten.
We believe, I think the order of play is we're going to do starter and then Uno Rummy, I think. Then we're doing the main, and then we're joining my mum's friends for the quiz. Then we're doing dessert, and then we're doing Ticket to Ride, and we see what time we finish. Because then it might be close to midnight by that point. So we'll see.
That makes more sense to do it after the third course, yeah. Rather than, because what you don't want to do is like have a starter, be like all geared up for your main course, and then play a 40-minute game of Ticket to Ride.
Absolutely, yeah. Or if you're playing with your parents, an hour.
Otherwise, you will just be sort of hating life because you're like, what I really want is my dinner now, but I've got to put the trains down.
Exactly, yes.
Which version of Ticket to Ride have you got?
Well, I'm a bit upset because I ordered the European one. But I didn't get the European one. It's the American one, whatever it's called. Days of Wonder, is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
I got that one instead, and I was like, I mean, it's fine, but it's just not the European one. That's the one I wanted. We've been learning a lot about geography. My mum constantly always picks up a destination ticket and goes, "Where are these again?" And has to like turn around, to try and look at the board properly. Try not give away where she's looking on the board. But also has to look very intently at each and every name just to make sure she can see it properly. It's very fun though. I'm
cool.
I'm thoroughly excited to play more because I still haven't won, and I need to win a game.
Pete, you're losing to rank amateurs,
mate. I'm so upset. My dad won three times in a row. Okay, three times in a row. My dad won. Right, and in the fourth game, he misunderstood one of the basic rules of the game. I was like, how have you won three games already? It's absolutely absurd.
Lovely stuff. We're doing a quiz as well. We're getting together with some friends at about eight. We've all written a round each. We didn't want to do this sort of like question answer stuff. So we were like, could we do like, there's not really sort of quiz or mania rounds that we can adapt into this. You can't really do like whose nips are these. For 2020, although it was discussed at one point. So we were then going to do Play Your COVID Right, which is where we would go to give a country and then we would give another country and you've got to guess if their cases were higher or lower. And we were
God, that's depressing.
Is that a bit dark? Is that a bit dark for New Year's?
Tell you what, though, it's a great round name.
So my wife suggested it. She was like, we could do higher, lower on COVID case. I was like, call it Play Your COVID Right. And she was like, now you've given it a name. I feel like we should do it.
Oh, man. That would have been really good, though.
I was like, maybe not. We're doing a sort of like a variation of that sort of thing. To remind myself, the SmackDown podcast is happening on Saturday, isn't it? Or is it not?
It is, yes. Very much
it is.
Me and Andy, I believe. As per usual, we're getting back in the swing of things on the second, and then it's just right back into where we were from Monday the 4th.
You say that, but I'm off next week. So there's going to be people subbing in for me, which I'd imagine will be you.
Oh, God. Okay.
That means you get to watch Raw again, Pete. You get to watch Legends.
Oh my God, I thought I was done with it. I thought I was done with Raw. No, let's get someone else. Other people can do it now. Other people have got setups and everything. Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's funny when it's you, though, isn't it? Because you love watching Raw.
Yeah. Everyone hates me because I hate the shows. But you can't blame me. It's Raw. It's bad, okay?
You know, I mean, I'd have thought that people would be on your side because no one likes Raw.
That's
sort of a standard of 2020 is that no one is. Yeah. Everyone's enjoyed SmackDown. Everyone's very much enjoyed Dynamite. Everyone's really enjoyed NXT, but no one's liked Raw.
No, it's been real bad, real bad. But the thing is, though, the annoying thing is about last week's show that I had to watch was it's one of the better Raws in recent memory. It still wasn't great, but it was much better than the tripe that they've been putting out recently. So I couldn't be as I hate Raw kind of thing. So it was like, well, actually, this episode was all right, wasn't it? So I had to be sort of positive about it. I don't know.
Right, anyway, let's get out of here. Yes. We're going to let you all go. Get on with the... hope you, if you are listening to this, enjoy your New Year's festivities. If you're listening to this the day after, Happy New Year. But yeah, the podcast is returning to some semblance of normality. We have got the SmackDown review. There's no magazine show this week, but there is the SmackDown review going out on Saturday. Then next week, it's Raw, it's AEW, it's the magazine show with Denise and Adam, and it'll be the SmackDown show once again. And for those of you who have been asking a lot on Twitter, Ollie is back next week.
Yes. God.
Had the audacity to take some time off. And
I know.
So mad about it.
Yeah. Dude, the amount of people that, one, have said that I'm not Ollie, and also the amount of people that, two, have said that anyone doing a list video that isn't Adam is absurd, right?
Yeah, I know. I didn't see, because I've not really been seeing, like, checking the comments on stuff, like, because I've been trying to sort of, like, step away from it. And, like, I was just scrolling through the comments on yesterday's videos, and I was like, is Adam gone from the channel? Like, is Adam... like, bloody hell. It's like, you can't ask him to do 14 lists to go
That's
out
exactly
like,
it.
For 3 weeks.
Everyone's like, no one is as good as Adam doing the list. Why don't you just give it all to Adam? It's like, do you know how much work that is? Like, yeah. No.
It took a team of people to get, like, all of these lists done. Show some appreciation. Yeah. Anyway, exactly. So thank you all for listening. I hope this show was a bit of a bright light in what has been quite a sad day. My foot hurts, so take some solace in all of that. But until we see you again, take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.